This is January 21, 1988. Dr. Martin Luther King Day, a cause for celebration. The speaker is Reverend Carl E. Brinkley, Jr.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. O bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Will you stand with me now as we join and singing hymn number 254, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Now we listen to the scripture as recorded in the book of Exodus, the 15th chapter, the 1st through the 5th verse, the 11th through the 13th verses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exhort him. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders, thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swalloweth them up. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. Thus ends the reading of the morning scripture.
Let us pray. We bless thee, our Father, that you have made known to us your existence, that you have made known to us the joyful tidings of your relationship to us, and assured us all the blessings of the household in love. Today, we give of ourselves in the celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., a man after your own heart, a man who became the voice of an oppressed people, upholding the philosophy of nonviolence in the quest for social change until his death. Under your watchful care, he realized that love, your love, is stronger than death, remaining steadfast in that love. And 20 years later, we are motivated by his faithfulness in you in the continuing quest for social change. Grant that we find that steadfast love and become more like the Christ, the perfect example of love, a light shining bright to all persons, leading them toward truth and holiness, being engulfed and absorbed in the will of God. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Twenty-five years ago, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King stood before 250,000 black men and white men at the Lincoln Memorial and spoke these most eloquent words. So I say to you today, my friends, that even though we still face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream today that even on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down at the table of brotherhood together. I have a dream today that down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, that even in the state of Alabama, little black boys and black girls would join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today that one day my four little children will live in a country where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today that down in Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering in the heat of oppression, one day Mississippi will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream today that the valleys will be exalted, the hills and mountains shall be made low, the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all men shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to transform our nation into a jangling discourse, from the jangling discourse of oppression to a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to struggle together, to pray together, to march for freedom together, to go to jail together, to stand up together, knowing that one day we shall be free. And this will be the day when all black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
I must work the works of him that sent me. This statement from John, the 9th chapter, the 4th verse, aptly reflects the life of our speaker today and the vigor with which he pursues the ministry the Lord has given him. Our speaker was educated in the public schools of Norfolk, Virginia, and he attended Norfolk State University. While spending 8 years in the military, he completed his undergraduate education at Fayetteville State University. In 1979, he acknowledged the calling to the ministry and preached his initial sermon in 1980. He received the Master of Divinity degree from Southeastern in May 1987 and has been the pastor of the Mount Olive Baptist Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina for the past 3 years. He is married with 2 children. At this time, I wish to introduce to some and present to others our speaker for the Martin Luther King celebration, Reverend Carl Brinkley.
To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the floodgate that all may come in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. O come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. This morning, as I stand before you, I stand giving honor to God. I also give honor to President Lally, to the faculty, to the staff of our great seminary. Give honor to those of you who are studying. And I give a special thanks to the students, the members of the Black Student Forum, for this opportunity to come and speak this morning. Last year in May, as I walked across the platform, and after I received my diploma, my degree, I thought in my mind and I wondered if I would ever pass this way again. And I say, glory be to God, for I'm here today. And I want you to know that I'm happy to be here. I count this a great honor, a privilege to stand before you, my professors, my friends. And as I'm away from you, I want you to know that many times I long to be back here, to be studying, to be praying, to be preparing. But I thank God that he has put me and moved me where he has. I want you to know that today with me are two very special ladies in my life. Matter of fact, the most important two ladies in my life, my wife, Angela, and my daughter, Ashley. Will you please stand so that everybody can see you, please, ladies? Amen. Amen. Thank God for them. And I want you to do something for me. It helps me every time I stand. At our church in Fayetteville, we have a tradition of welcoming each other to the house of the Lord. And I believe that every time we go into God's house, we ought to feel good. We ought to be glad, as the psalmist said, every time they say, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And there are two things that we do in our church. They're not hard to do. And if you do that for me, if you help me to welcome us to the house of God, I know that we all will feel better. Now, the first thing that we do is that we just smile. Amen. That's not hard to do. We just smile at one another. Just turn to somebody and smile at them. Amen. Amen. Doesn't that feel good? And I see somebody already doing the second thing. Let us shake somebody's hand and welcome them to the house of God, for it's good to be in God's house. Amen. Amen. Doesn't that feel good? Amen. This morning, as we prepare our minds and our hearts for this message, I want to read in your hearing one verse from the second chapter of the book of Acts, verse number 17. Hear ye now the word of God. And in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And as we keep this verse in our minds and in our hearts, I'd like to speak for a little while from this subject, celebrating the dream. Celebrating the dream. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time of worship. We pray, Lord, that truly you would, that you would pour out your spirit, that we might worship in spirit and in truth. And Father, it is my prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Celebrating the dream. I was very happy when our president, our commander-in-chief, in 1986, dared to state that he, Dr. King, made it possible for our nation to move closer to the ideals set forth in the Declaration of Independence, that all people are created equal and endowed with inalienable rights, that the government has a duty to respect and protect. This gave me joy that on that day, that by public law number 98-144, that the third day and Monday in the month of January has been designated a public holiday in the honor of the birthday of the dreamer. I was happy this year, as many people, and maybe more people than ever, saw it necessary and important to celebrate this holiday. I am also happy that our seminary saw it important to celebrate this day, even in spite of cancellations because of weather. But in spite of all of these who celebrate, it is true and it is my observation that many people still are not willing to celebrate the dream. My wife works for the Fort Bragg school system, and one day, a few weeks ago, it was her duty to go to all of the teachers and to ask them what they planned to do in the celebration of Dr. King's holiday. And she was surprised that as she talked to a number of the teachers, they gave her the reply. One in particular said that I'm not going to do anything. That I don't think he did anything for our country, and we just don't need to be doing this. I want to make a point here that even for those of us who need and feel the need to celebrate, we must realize that celebration must be a voluntary act, and that we cannot force anyone to help us celebrate. But I believe that when celebration is added or is given understanding, then celebration can be given and be done with fervency. What I'm saying here, and for example, that when I understood what Christmas and Easter were all about, I was able to understand that Christmas was not about gifts or a man in a red suit or that Easter was not about a bunny, but that those dates were about the birth and the resurrection of a Christ. When I understood it, I was able to celebrate with fervency. And this morning, I just want to share a few things with us, with you, that would help us to celebrate the dream. Now, first of all, before we can celebrate this dream, we must understand the dream. The dream, as it did many, many years ago, speaks to an America with some problems. But I believe it speaks to America that's moving forward, little by little, inch by inch, getting better day by day. This dream gives hope that one day creedal truths will become realized truths. This dream gives hope that enemies one day will be able to trade in swords for plowshares. This dream gives hope that now in places where injustice and oppression prevail, that one day justice and freedom will rule. This dream gives hope that one day people will be judged not because of their outward appearance, but that they will be judged by their character content. This dream gives the hope that when all is put in order, and when we all realize it, that then we will see the glory of our Lord. This dream is a dream of hope. This dream is a dream of equality. This dream is a dream of freedom. And this dream is not only for black men. This dream is not only for white men, but this dream is for all of God's children. Let us seek every day to understand the dream. But then, not only must we understand the dream, but I believe in order to celebrate this holiday, we must also understand the dreamer. In Luke's gospel, the 6th chapter and verse number 45, he states that the good man out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And let us today know the dreamer by his words. To quote Dr. King on one occasion, he said that all men are interdependent. Every nation is an heir of a vast treasury of ideas and labor to which both the living and the dead of all nations have contributed. Whether we realize it or not, each one of our lives are eternally in the red. We are everlasting debtors to known and unknown men and women. When we arise in the morning, we go to the bathroom where we reach for a sponge that's been provided for us by a Pacific Islander. We reach for soap created by a European. Then at the table, we drink coffee, which is provided for us by a South American, or tea by a Chinese, or cocoa by a West African. Before we leave for our jobs, we are already beholden to more than half of the world. On another occasion, he said that as long as there is poverty in the world, I can never be rich. Even if I have $1 billion, as long as diseases are rampant and millions of people in this world cannot expect to live beyond the age of 28 or 30 years, I can never be totally healthy. Even though I just got a checkup at the Mayo Clinic, I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. This is the way our world is made. No individual nation can stand out boasting of being independent. We are interdependent. Another time he said that we will never have peace in the world until men everywhere recognize that the ends are not cut off from the means, because the means represent the ideal in the making and the end the process. Ultimately, you cannot reach good ends through evil means, because the means represent the seed and the end represents the tree. Another statement by Dr. King in February of 1968, the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. He stated that every now and then, I guess we all think about that day when we will be victimized by what is life's final common denominator. That's something we call death. We all think about it. And every now and then I think about my own death. And I think about my funeral. And I don't think about it in a morbid sense. And every now and then I ask myself, what is it that I would want said? And I leave this word with you this morning. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell him not to talk too long. And every now and then I wonder what I might want him to say. Tell him not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell him not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell him not to mention where I went to school. I'd like for somebody to mention that day that Dr. Martin Luther King tried to live his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Dr. Martin Luther King tried to love somebody. I want you to say that I tried to be right on the question of war. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. I want you to be able to say that I did try to live my life and to clothe the naked. I want you to say that I did try in my life to visit those that were in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to, say that I was a drum major. Say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. Say that I was a drum major for righteousness. And all of the other things, shallow things, will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine, luxurious things to leave behind, but I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that is all that I want to say. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring salvation to a world once wrought, if I can spread the message as the master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Finally, my brothers and my sisters, today, if you're willing to celebrate with me, not only must we understand the dream. Not only must we understand the dreamer, but also we must be willing to make this dream reality. Oh yes, if I can be a force of making my world a better place, and if you can be a force in making your world and your situation better, and we love one another, and we support one another, and we support others who seek positive change, then I know in my heart that this world would truly be a better place. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a better world. I'm looking for a world where not only will the attitude of apartheid die out, but I'm looking for a world where hungry children and men and women will be fed and live. I'm looking for an America, not only where the words of a racist governor or a sportscaster will be shunned, but I'm looking for an America where the hearts of men have been changed to the point that they truly love one another. I'm looking for even a better Southeastern, where my daughter, if called to a Christian ministry, would be able to come and study and prepare and not be judged because of the color of her skin or even because of her gender, but be accepted and trained to do God's work. Oh yes, if we all work together, as Dr. King was saying, we'll be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black, white, Jews, Gentiles, Protestants, Catholics, but not only just them, but Baptists, Southern Baptists and National Baptists, and liberals and even conservatives, Americans, non-Americans, all of God's children will be able to not only join hands, but to join in heart and sing together with new meaning the words of that Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." Amen.
Will you bow with me, please, for the benediction? Dear God, we thank thee for the freedom we all share, a freedom that black, white, red, and yellow alike has had someone to die. But Lord, our freedom is imperfect. For in our world, there are many people who still are not free. In America, both social and religious structure prevent both men and women from seeking their chosen careers. In Russia, Jews cannot go to their homeland. Hostages are still being held at gunpoint in Iran. And in South Africa, a whole race of people are being unjustly treated. Lord, help us not to take our freedom for granted, but help us to work for the freedom of all. May the grace of God be with everyone as I pray in his name. Amen.